Hey everybody, before we get into the podcast, we have a huge giveaway going on our YouTube channel. If you are not a subscriber yet, make sure you head over to YouTube, type in the Rough Cut Golf Podcast and enter on episode number 23, which is this podcast as well. Very simple, we are giving away a driver of your choice from this year's releases. So to enter, all you need to do is get down into the comments and comment what your dream driver would be from this year's releases. We will then respond to the winner after the deadline closes in 2 weeks. However, we will only respond from the official Rough Cut Golf YouTube podcast handle. If you click on the name of anybody who responds to you and it is not the official Rough Cut Golf podcast handle, then you have not won. Someone is trying to scam you. So just be aware. Sometimes golf is a pain in the butt. You hit your ball in the trees and then you lip out the putt. But if you've got a little time, then come and spend it with us. Hello, 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 and welcome down to the Rough Cut Golf Podcast, the non-award-winning show with four people who generally don't know what they're talking about. But apart from that, it's a fantastic listen, often elicits a couple of giggles, and why not join us for the next hour and a bit as we ramble on about nonsense.
You've been reading the comments then.
Literally, yeah.
That's basically what we do. No, we are nominated for a few awards. We have an Emmy nomination coming up, a Streamy Award coming up.
Wow.
Are nominated 4,000 on that list, but there's a chance we're not going to win.
Should I buy a suit for the award show or not?
No. We need a Michael Block type of podcast to actually propel us up the rankings.
Right, so no pressure, hole in one with Rory watching, everyone.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
When is Rory going to be watching?
When we win that Emmy.
No, but we need Rory to watch to win the Emmy. It's a vicious circle that we're not going to be able to break out. I'm joined here by Mick, by Kieran, and by Jacob on this momentous week in the world of golf. There's so much been happening. There's a lot which has been happening with us as well. We are recording this prior to the Charles Schwab.
Challenge.
The Charles Schwab Challenge.
I'm going to make a soundboard button out of that.
Charles Schwab.
I feel like that is, you can't say Charles Schwab without doing
Charles Schwab. And to be honest, in my head, is it a proper tour event?
Yeah.
Right.
It's not an elevated event, is it?
No.
It's a good field, though. Playing, isn't it?
It's a really good field. This is what confuses me. It's like it comes the week after the USPJ. It's got a strange kind of name and feel to it. It almost felt like a JP McManus Pro-Am type of vibe where just getting a lot of people paid a lot of money to come down and have a wander around.
But
just the impression I had, I have done zero research into it apart from it's a good field. So,
and is Charles Schwab just like the sponsor of the event then?
Yeah. Big Charlie. Schwabsters.
Chazza.
And so we don't know the result of that event. This is being recorded on a Thursday. So they're just about to tee off. However, when we're talking about teeing off, we have been having an incredibly busy few weeks, which is about to kick off to another level. Time is put an opinion for us right now as we plow through the rest of this next couple of months running up to the Open Championship at Royal Liverpool. Boys, what have we been up to?
Well, we just had a meeting to talk through what our...
Yeah, that was the first time we've had a meeting in like a long time.
It was really nice. I liked it.
We have one every week, guys.
We're a business with a plan. We're not freewheeling it and improvising our way through life. But we had a very informative meeting about all the videos that have been filmed and are to be edited, about videos that have not yet been filmed, videos that are currently just ideas on the wind that don't have any, you know, have any structure yet. And it is looking, first of all, very busy, but also very exciting. There's lots of very fun stuff coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've pretty much planned out until mid-August. When there is going to be something happening which is going to change the landscape of YouTube in many respects. It's something which we've never done before. It's never been done before in the golfing space. So stay tuned for that. There's a lot of planning to do beforehand, though, so let's not get too excited.
Planning and preparation, there's going to be a lot of preparation on our part. There's going to be a lot of preparation on your part, Peter.
Yeah.
Have you been preparing for it?
Yeah, I've been preparing.
Will you be kicking into high grade preparation mode at some point?
High grade preparation mode.
Yeah.
I will try and kick into high grade preparation mode very soon.
Yeah.
Mostly my plan is just to drink more coffee. And
drink less Guinness.
Propel myself forwards with caffeine.
Great
which
advice.
I'm almost certain every doctor would also recommend. Yeah. That's what I'm going to be going along with. I mean, the last few weeks, obviously, been to Dundonald, played a lot of golf there. We've just come off the back of filming with Andy Carter, who is happily moved back to the UK now with his lovely little family. And we played at Portal in a match, which again is a YouTube first.
Something you will not have seen ever before.
I think that video is scheduled to go out in a couple of weeks. If you want to see two golfers of mediocre ability absolutely crap themselves over a gigantic prize, which is on offer, that's the one. It's a YouTube first. Never been done.
Big cash.
Massive cash.
Big like, cash.
Too much cash. Like, to be perfectly honest with you, like a very strange, strange day.
Is it the most money you've ever played for?
Yeah.
By a long way.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know the math, but I think we would have had to have given 6,000 Michael Block pre-USPGA opens to get to that amount of money.
Wow. Yeah.
It's not an accurate figure, by the way, but it's probably not far off.
It's a lot of cash.
It's a lot of cash. I'm not recovered from it yet.
And was the golf warranting of the level of prize?
No.
Only the last hole was the best.
To be fair,
that was the best.
It was very. It was nip and tuck all the way because we were very nervous. It was very inconsistent. There's some great golf, some awful golf. I mean, generally, it's going to be a great watch because it's just everything all in one.
Yeah, good video. Where is Portal?
Cheshire.
Yeah.
So not that far from here.
No, 45 yeah. minutes.
But you were back real late.
Oh, we didn't get through the door until 11:30.
It was a late one.
Celebratory drinks.
Oh, lovely.
And steak.
I mean, now, am I right in saying that this video idea and it came from like some anonymous benefactor who suddenly had loads of money that he wanted to give away?
Yeah.
What?
It kind of came from Discord as well, which is quite cool.
If you haven't joined our Discord, please do. The link
that's
below.
The mad thing.
If you're watching the video,
there's a lot of free money on Discord. If you want to join the Discord, there's loads of cash.
We've got some high rollers in our Discord.
So the video idea came just from a message on Discord, and this person said, "Look, I have this amount of money. Do you want to play Andy Carter for it?"
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's going to be. I mean, there's no harm in actually saying the amount. Obviously, you're not going to give away the result, but. Basically, someone who he didn't know off the internet slipped into the Discord DMs, the DMs, Discord. And said, I've got a certain amount of money, which could or could not be around 25 grand, which I want to put towards a match. And it transpired that he wasn't a crazy person.
Because we obviously get these ideas all the time, like, oh, come and film this thing where you jump out of a plane and hit a drop, like, and you're like, definitely. You just forget it. But then, like, you get one like this and you're happened.
Whenever there's a large amount of money on the line as well, so, I'm a Nigerian prince and I've got 25 grand. All you need to do is send me a grand to unlock it.
I always do it.
Yeah.
Because you never know.
You never know. The
one time that he's real.
It's like, so we obviously checked it out. It all checked out and the way it transpired at the showdown at Portal between myself and Carter. And that video is going to be coming very soon. Honestly, YouTube is just a very crazy place. Like the opportunities that you do get are absolute madness.
Not only is that video obviously of an incredible scale, it's going to be of a new scale to us as well because we're planning on making something that we've not done before, which is quite long.
Good luck
An hour and a half sort of.
It'd be an hour and a half video, easy.
We want to sit down, grab a cup of tea, probably going to have to get back up and make another cup of tea.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's going to be that long.
You got probably that one, didn't you, mate?
Yeah. It's a two cup of tea.
Are you doing that? Two cup of tea, yeah. Yeah, I'm doing that one, yeah.
Good luck with that.
The only reason Jacob's doing it is because he was there filming. Like, if you were there filming, you'd be doing it.
Yeah.
So you have a context of what the hell was going on.
Because it's chaos, is it?
Yeah,
it is. Speaking of chaos, we played golf last night.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
We played, Kieran played in the Didsbury weekly medal.
Like midweek medal, yeah.
Midweek medal. Yeah. From the backs. at Disbury Golf Club. And how did you get on?
78. It was a bit annoying, really, because like it was a bit of a grind yesterday, because normally Disbury's like very, very wet. So you can just fly the ball, it'll stop, one hop and a bit of backspin. So you can sort of fly it there. But this one was like proper, you know, having to lynx it a little bit.
I'm going to be honest with you, Pete.
Greens
were
good.
He's not lying.
Greens were good, everything. Like you had to pitch the ball kind of like...
Yeah, you had to think about 15, running it
20 feet before.
Yeah.
It was really, really strange.
It was lovely to see.
But yeah, it was a bit annoying really, because like the last couple of holes, to get back on the handicap, I had like 3 birdie putts where I should have made all of them.
One was a horrible lip out. Another just slid past.
Yeah, one just short.
A couple of inches short.
Yeah, it was just it was a bit annoying, but
story of your life, mate, isn't it really?
Yeah, it's all right.
A few inches short.
Yeah, no, it was a mixture really, but no, driving was good.
It's an issue with the courses around Manchester though, like especially around the Mersey where Didsbury is. Like they run a knife edge. If it rains, it's wet, and then if it's dry for 2 days. It's dry.
So, to
catch it on a perfect day.
Yeah, it was a really good nick.
I think they fixed the mower as well, haven't they? So they've suddenly mowed everything. And
they've got lines down the fairway and
everything.
They fixed the mower.
Well, we filled it with oil again. They fixed the mower.
No, it's good to see. Good to see. Bit of investment in there,
yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah, we played as well, didn't we? And it was quite... Well, we had a good time. I don't know what you thought, Mick.
I was extremely frustrated by my inability to hit the ball straight.
The only thing that I enjoyed more so than my fairly decent golf was the fact that we were playing with them. We had another friend, Henry, we were playing with, and you guys were in the medal. We were just sort of playing along and just kind of like, I'd forgotten the kind of stresses of playing in a medal.
Yeah.
It's not like a Stapleford, like Henry said as well. He's like, I think walking to the fourth tee, he'd scored 10 points in Stapleford, but in a medal, he'd still had to keep his foot down and had to keep working. It's just, yeah, it's a grind, isn't it?
Kieran was silent.
Yeah.
Like he was in focus. You were in killer mode.
Mate, it's different. Yeah. Different. You know, when it's competition, I'm different.
Hit his tee shot, assess his net, like,
yeah.
Like later, by then.
When was the last time you played in a monthly medal?
I mean, could have been last night, but I wasn't invited. So,
I tell you what. Next time we're doing one of those, we will 100% invite you.
It's fine.
And then you can tell us to...
Just came back, empty office. Had to carry on grinding away.
You can tell us to naff off, and then we'll go and play on our own without you.
Well, it looks like the only thing you've done is just rub ideas off the board. That's all you did.
Don't worry about me.
And hit a lot of drivers.
Here I was, just getting all the data for a drive video. PXG driver video is coming very, very soon as well. Mapping out the next few months as well. It's fine, don't you worry about me.
Well, someone's got to work so that we can go and enjoy ourselves.
Don't you worry about me. Toil away.
Speaking of toil, the BMB series continued recently with the wedges video.
Mm-hmm.
You have gone for Vokey wedges in the bag this year.
Yeah.
Did you not want to have them? Yeah.
No. So the Build My Bag series, I do every year on YouTube. I take all the clubs out of my bag pretty much and then test the newest models and decide out of all the clubs out there what's the best and what's going in my bag. This year, if the video is basically PXG wedges, TaylorMade high toes, new Cleveland RTXs, and then the Vokeys. And I kind of knew beforehand because like the Vokey wedges are really good, like, and they've been awesome for ages.
For years.
Yeah, and it was kind of like I knew how good they were going to be, but I wanted one of the other wedges to be better so I could be like, yeah, BXG, I can't believe there's a wedge better than the Vokey, Cleveland, whatever. And in the end, no, the Vokeys are still the best.
I was hoping you would go for the Cleveland. The Clevelands look so
Would you say that those were the next best?
The Clevelands were the next best, yeah. But just on looks and a few other factors, the Vokeys are still just edging it. Like they're just an amazing club.
Yeah. I've always remembered you saying when I first joined and you had the Vokeys in the bag that the flight control and the way just hitting into greens, particularly with the Vokeys, have been undefeated, basically.
Yeah, yeah. With every single wedge, like it's a very niche kind of better player thing. But you notice more and more with wedges, like if you hit them, they have a tendency to like just roll up the face, kind of lose a little bit of distance, kind of pop up in the air. The Vokeys just don't do that. Like you can just drill them down. You have full control. You get a lot of spin, adaptability around the greens. Just watch the video for like the full review. But honestly, it's an all round perfect wedge. And to be honest, they've not really changed much.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only thing they've done is, like, you know, stick a different number on it or whatever. Like, it's basically, we have, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years worth of Vokey wedges from testing in the room, in the other room. And you realistically couldn't tell the difference between them if you didn't know which ones were which. They are very similar.
It does happen every now and again. Like, you get a club which comes out that... basically, like, Titleist with this wedge, they had, like, their marketing points. You know, it's this. They were exactly the same things that they said last year.
They actually just re-stamped last year's marketing
data. SM9. Yeah.
There were a couple of differences, and it looks slightly different, but essentially, it's just an SM8. It is the same wedge.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, the SM8, pretty similar to the SM7.
Yeah.
Like, they consistently produce such a good club. They don't really need to change anything.
That's the thing, isn't it?
How often do they bring, like, new wedges out? Is it every year? Is it every, like, 18 months?
Titleist is 18 months.
18 months, yeah.
But there's, obviously, you last year had the Adels, and absolutely no disrespect to the Adels because they were great clubs for you, but we kind of went a different way with the wedges video last year, and that we sort of picked a different manufacturer and you got fit into those wedges. But there isn't nothing to say that if you did put the Titleist into the last year's set, they probably could have won again. It's just only we went away for it for a year. That's just how consistently good the SM versions of the,
like,
the wedges,
like, have been. We did with irons this year. We decided to go down a very specific road.
Very specific.
Yeah, very specific.
I mean, that's the thing. The irons we got this year, for me, I'm very happy in saying that if I did a full conclusive test, they're probably not the best irons in the world.
Mm.
They're just so different and so unique, and they're incredible that it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
with Vokeys, I'm pretty confident in saying they are the best wedge.
Right.
Yeah.
I was kind of just on the sly rooting for the PXGs.
You just love the chaos.
I love the chaos. I really liked the fitting video you did that we did for from Arizona. What made them lose out? I mean, people can go and watch the video to find out kind of all the details on it. But what was the kind of feeling that you had when you were hitting those based on kind of the fitting process? Kind of, did that not just elevate it to a whole new level because they were really, really adapted to your game?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, they're good. They're good wedges. Like, every single wedge that we did in that test, they are good clubs. Like, there wasn't a case of, like, this is definitely the worst. And then, but the Vokeys just had, in every single department, slightly better shaping, slightly better adaptability, slightly better feel. Spin across all four of them was fine. Like, there's no difference, like, really. Mm. Like, they all span about the same amount. It's just those small little things that make a big difference, that add up to just, like, there was only one potential winner.
Just kind of came down to personal preference, really.
Yeah, but, you know, what in life doesn't?
Very true. Very, very true.
How you die.
God.
Wow. That was dark.
I mean, unless you want it to be, but I don't know. Yeah, because I'm rocking the high toes, and I just love them. I can't get away from them.
So Pete says, I edited the wedges video, and I remember distinctly Pete saying, if you're looking for a bit more confidence around the greens, get the high toes. And I was like, probably why Jacob loves these clubs.
No, but I could see a situation, like, this is the thing, see a situation with the high toes where the 60 degree will go in the back.
Right, because of the workability.
Yeah, because of the adaptability.
But what you're going to use it for. And
exactly, right. But the 60 degree on a full shot just wasn't as good as a Vokey.
I can understand that. I can relate to that slipping up the face. And But around the greens, unbelievable.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, go ahead, check the video. Exactly what kind of went into the picking of it. It's been like literally a 3-month test.
It's a long boy.
I mean,
it's like the putter one. It's been everywhere.
Yeah,
like,
that's
Turkey.
It's traveled, that
it's
video,
been Portugal. The, it's been
those
Donald.
Grooves have four different countries mud in
them.
Yeah. Yeah. Soil.
Right. So you've gone for Vokeys. We've got the remaining three between us. Who gets what?
Well, I mean, I'm going to have to take the
Taylor. Yeah, I'll take the Clevelands. Easy money.
There you go.
Would you actually? Then I get the PXGs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your face.
Easy.
Love them. Those chunky boy grips on
them. Yeah, they got big, thick grips.
Anything
as well
that Brooks Koepka's got, I want that.
Oh, God. Don't. It's not quite over. It's not a major week. We're not talking about Brooke. There's been a transition
with Kieran. At the start of the year, he wasn't quite sure if he should be hot or not on Brooks, and you've just gone straight back to full fanboy.
Oh, full fanboy, yeah, 100%.
You were not at this level at the start of the year.
He is striking the ball incredible at the moment.
It's the same. He wasn't quite sure because obviously Brooks was playing pretty crap
at the start of the year.
Yeah. It's like you know what? It's just like one of the, like, football fans who like support a glory team.
Yeah.
As soon as you start winning again,
they're not from there. Fam, you're from Dorset.
Why do you support United?
I've still kept with him through thick and thin. You know, obviously he's gone over to a different tour now, so I still got to keep my eye on him. But he's doing well at the moment. You know, he's doing well, the boy.
Mate, it was very sad when he doesn't need you to defend him. It's okay.
I know he doesn't. And he wouldn't talk to me if
he got his back.
He wouldn't talk to me if I, you saw, if I saw him.
You saw after he won all his boys like coming in and stuff. Do you think you'd fit into that group?
No, I wouldn't.
You don't think you wear a backwards cap and have a Michelob Ultra in your hand?
Nope.
Did you see that they tried to drink beer out of the one?
Yeah, I saw that. It just spills everywhere.
They didn't have enough beers to fill it because it's so big.
Oh yeah,
they only got to about 2/3 of the way up.
But then also, like when he was trying it, like it was just going everywhere.
Yeah, it's not a drinking receptacle.
It's not like a claret jug.
No, a claret jug you can literally pour.
That's got to be a slow pour, but that's so hard at that heavy.
Yeah, it's just like
the claret jug. Your mouth's not big
enough. Have you ever done a yard?
I've done a yard, yeah.
Have you ever had that when, like, because we at the cricket club, if you score 100, you'd do a yard and you'd fill it with whatever you wanted. And the one thing that everyone was like, you start slow and then they'd go, turn it, twist it. So you keep it, like, moving because otherwise it's just going to start, like,
does it look like a boot?
No, it's kind of just like a real long, kind of thin tube and then ends in a bowl.
Yeah, big thing at the bottom.
I like we finally had confirmation from Jacob, though, about just how country they are. Turn it, grab the yard and twist it.
I do come from Herefordshire.
You've got to turn that yard.
Bloody country boys, both of you.
Unbelievable.
Another great video which has just come out in another seamless transition.
I mean, to go from a yard is quite hard.
Yeah, from 1 yard to 6,900 yards. How long was that course that you played in Turkey?
Good.
Yeah, it was +7,000 from the back.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was a beastie one.
So it's a long course. Big event. The only kicker was that you had two attempts at every single shot. Yeah.
So when we were over in Turkey with our good friends at Jet2, we had a challenge where we would play a tour golf course, which was the Montgomery Max Royale. And rather than just play a single ball, decided to have two attempts at every shot to see what we could shoot. We won't kind of spoil the result, but there was four Tiger scores that we were aiming at from when he played the Turkish Open there. And we did pretty well. It certainly showed that obviously having two attempts at every ball is very important, but more probably from a mental standpoint than a technical one.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to go to Turkey on that trip and to film that video. And you could see your kind of... There was a few like waves of how you were treating the first and second ball situation. On the first few holes, I feel like you were going for it on the first one. Mm. And then like, okay, maybe wasn't perfect. Let me go for it again. Great. Hopefully like one of them's in the fairway, close enough, near to the hole, whatever. Then I think like in the middle of the round, you started to kind of be aware of the fact that maybe I could be a bit safer with the first one to secure position
and then go for it.
Go for it a bit more the second time. Mm. So it was really interesting to see kind of how your brain worked around the problem. Mm. Do you feel like there is a better way to play that game than another, or like how do you feel like it played out?
No, I mean, playing safe with the first one, yeah, that's probably the easiest way to do it. But I've got to be honest, we had a lot more holes where we had the first shot all the way through. I don't think we had a single hole where we took the second ball all the way through.
I think you're right, and I think the only reason is that it was a tap in on the green.
Right, yeah.
There was a two, I think it was a par five potentially, and you second shot, second shot, second shot, second putt, and it was like just a tap in.
Just tap in a single putt.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, it was... what was quite strange is how many balls that we lost.
Mm. Mm. Good. Yeah, I was very surprised. When I was re-watching through for the edit, it was like... Yeah, how many balls are going through? Yeah.
But then it plays into the idea of like really going for it.
Yeah,
that's it, isn't it? I guess
they were almost exclusively second balls.
Yeah, ones that you were launching to try and
I didn't think about that until just now. Yeah, that's right. The second one, we're like, okay, cool. Well, I can see that one in the fairway.
Tiger lines and taking it over trees.
You say chuck us a pinnacle, but they were almost all brand new TP5 pixes straight out of the box.
The divides
were all gone because you're doing ball testing at the same time, so all of these kind of ideas are all interweaved. So when we go and shoot one of these videos, you were testing wedges, you were testing, you know, the driver the day before.
If you had to play the Max Royale,
loads of different balls just scattered anywhere, just like a little bit through the fairway. There's probably like
don't they all have like a two on them as well?
if you find a one or a two on a golf ball, that's probably Pete.
Yeah, tag us on Insta and stuff like that. That'd be amazing.
That'd be so funny.
But it also puts into perspective, because I know that a lot of tour pros do worst ball, so they'll play like a practice round and they'll play two balls and they'll always pick their worst ball. So it's kind of like a flip on the head of what you're doing. It just shows how like good and consistent they are. Because they'll shoot like probably level par one over sort of thing.
Like,
it's weird.
I said to you guys, and I'm sure you guys thought the same thing, but like you watch the video and you see what you shot and you're like, well, theoretically you could do that if you hit, you know, you've got the golf shots in you, but it's that doing it at the right time.
Yeah.
Well, it was a game, Carl Morris, who's like a golf sports psychologist, he plays quite a lot with his players.
Hmm.
Where he literally gives them like a mulligan on any shot that they want. And he says it's amazing what it does to that first shot. It just relaxes them completely because they know
they've got that.
They have a buffer
back up.
And so often he says that the first shot just ends up being so good. Like they shoot some of their lower scores just because they know they have a backup because they're playing a lot. That is more pressure free if you know you've got something to fall back on. So it is such a mentality thing.
But then it also sometimes does put pressure on the second ball as well.
Oh, dude.
Because, like, if say you spaff it into the water and then you're like, oh, God, right, I've actually got to seriously, you know, get it on the fairway or something like that.
There were a couple of times. I don't think there was a hole where we hit like two really bad shots where we had to recover from.
Mm. No, you did. You did manage to find the fairway quite often, actually. That was a hard course, though.
It was hard, yeah, off the backs. It was very, really, very hard. Tough. I mean, we played probably not as tough as Carrier, which we played over there. We did a back tees scratch golfer challenge as well.
Oh, God, yeah. That was tough. Man,
that was a hell of a day.
There was a lot of, there's a lot of shots out of the woods.
A lot of swearing on that block. But actually, ended up quite well as well. I think with that, I mean, that little tip from Carl Morris there, we do need to talk about coaching and SwingQuest and what is going on.
Yeah, so I saw the video on the SwingQuest channel and I thought it was maybe a draft that had been put up and put out, you know, by mistake. So I clicked on it just to make sure that it wasn't something sketchy.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's just an unedited, like no graphics, no nothing, just chatting. Talking about, you know, some, you know, whatever.
What was that?
He was just getting into the slot for anyone who's not listening.
You were getting into the slot last night.
But it's a little bit of a kind of insight into how YouTube works and how SwingQuest maybe doesn't fit into what YouTube wants you to put on the platform in its current kind of iteration. Do you want to talk us through like what the plan is and why things are going to have to change a little bit?
Yeah. So the whole point of the SwingQuest channel is that it's a standalone thing. Like, yes, I'm doing the coaching videos at the moment. Want to try and get more people involved as well, but I want it to be something which is seen as separate than the main kind of channel. And obviously this podcast, that's separate as well. So they are all under the same beautiful umbrella, but they are different things underneath that umbrella. They are separate entities, which makes kind of a lot of sense if you want to do different things with them. Like the SwingQuest channel is just purely coaching. The main channel, we rarely do coaching videos on there now, so that's where the split is. We thought, and to some extent, still remain sure that like having a very short form coaching video content, which is between 3 and 5 minutes, it goes down very well with people watching.
Yeah.
The problem is that YouTube doesn't reward lack of watch time. So basically, if you watch this video and you watch it all the way through to the end, so you're watching it for an hour and 15 minutes, whatever it's going to be, YouTube will see, oh my word, someone has literally just watched this video for an hour and 15 minutes. That is unbelievable. So they will start to share it to more people. And if it gains enough mass, those are the videos that get pushed out loads.
Yeah, that's what you want.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially, once a video gets over 8 minutes, you can put more than one ad on it. If you watch it for a long time, you put more ads on it, YouTube say, we can deliver to our advertisers a little bit more. This is a good video. Let's push it. Let's go. More people watch, you grow. With the shorter form videos, we're just not experiencing that type of growth. In all fairness, a little bit of is kind of our problem, as well, our fault as well. When we had the decision to kind of keep it on its own, we've not really pushed to it from the main channel at all.
No.
Or from here, say. So if you're not subscribed to Swing Quest, make sure you do that now.
That would help quite a lot.
I think maybe the only kind of example of a push from the main channel to the Swing Quest is maybe the Fred Masterclass recently, huh?
Yeah, but even that, we just took the coaching points, put them on Swing Quest without any context from the main channel.
Yeah, I didn't refer them.
We didn't really refer it back. And so, you know, that's something that we need to figure out. But the whole point of this is, like, we're doing launching a new channel and seeing what works. You know, this is something which, you know, we want to try, because if we do want to launch more channels in the future, we'll have a bit of a better blueprint. So, yeah, so we're going to have to change. We're going to have to do longer coaching videos, which, to be honest, like, looking at the comments on the last video, I was surprised at how many people were actively happy about that.
They're all right with it.
Yeah.
Good.
Like I said, they don't mind a little bit more of an in-depth coaching video, which kind of makes sense. Like, in my mind, the whole idea of Swing Quest initially was like, you're on the course, you're about to play, I'm struggling with a hook, go on to Swing Quest, 3 minutes, give me an idea what I need to do.
Yeah.
When actually, people, if they're kind of changing their swing, they might want to sit down for 8 minutes and, like, be like, okay, what do I need to do?
But yeah, as a golf coach, you would not advocate to look to change your swing as you walk onto the golf course, wouldn't you?
It depends what you're doing.
Okay.
Depends what you're doing. Sometimes
if there's a lot of water left and you're struggling with the hook, maybe try and hit a slice.
Maybe that's what you should have done yesterday. You should have pulled up a 3-minute swing quest.
Do you know what? There's no soul for what's going on up here.
Okay.
I hope you're just using a 4-iron off the tee.
He was.
He was, but he did use the mini net, but he did use mini driver a couple of times, and it was a bit right.
Well, 4-iron was right as well. I was getting too, it was all right. I was too quick.
That's where mini driver's gone.
Yeah, I know. Mm.
Not the fancy one.
Not the fancy one. The old one from the old 2019.
What shaft is it? 2020,
sorry. I don't know. Whatever came in it, tailor made.
The shaft, the only one that's available. Well, actually, no. I think there's some X stiff ones, but I think the only stiff one there is a 3-wood shaft. So if it's a stiff one, it might be a 3-wood shaft.
Listen.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing for the mini driver.
It doesn't matter. I hit it 3 times. All 3 of them were bad.
Watch more Swing Quest.
Yeah, you need to watch more. Yeah. So, yeah, that's basically what's happening to Swing Quest. It's not going anywhere. It's just the video format is going to get a little bit longer. We've experimented with a few videos a week. We kind of find that just one big coaching video a week will be absolutely sufficient. So that is what is happening over there.
Do we have an idea of kind of coaching content that's actually going to go up? Like, what are we looking at in the next kind of few weeks? What things are going to be talked about?
So we've got a pretty big list of what we need to get through. Mostly it's full swing stuff.
Cool.
Again, we're basing this off like what YouTube is telling us and what viewers are telling us as far as kind of watch time and all the rest of it. Short game videos don't really do that well. Anything to do with driver tends to do pretty well.
Yeah, like, no one wants to practice a short game. Boo.
It's a insight into just the golf mindset, I suppose, or the average player's mindset. They just kind of want to hit it miles, when actually you can gain so many shots or lose so many shots around the greens.
To be honest, it is, but also for a lot of people, it's simply availability. Mm. People do have the ability on most occasions to get to a driving range.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
like people's chance to actually get out and grind on a good short game area, it's not actually that high, especially here in the UK. The amount of short game facilities there are, it's minimal.
Yeah, it's
and even if it is at a golf course, it's just like a bit of a crappy green pushed to the side with a bunker full of stones.
Yeah,
my childhood.
A good place to do your short game. Three Hammers, by the way. Three Hammers, isn't it?
Three Hammers.
We'd like that course.
What, the short course?
Yeah, if you want
Short courses are...
That's like a par three course.
Yeah, it was like 60 yards, like 70
something
yards.
Like, it was like 30 yard little shots. Yards.
Love that. Nice. Love that. And that was in Great Neck.
Yeah, so stuff like that's great. And those facilities do exist. But yeah, for most people, they only have a chance to get down to a driving range.
Just as a footnote before we go on from Swing Quest, the next like three videos are filmed in the old style. But we're still going to put them out because we don't want to lose that content. So even though that video's come out saying that things are going to change, you might find the next three videos are still the same. But they will be changing.
Oh, I'm going to make them 8 minutes.
Oh, are you?
Maybe I don't think we filmed 8 minutes worth of content.
So. You wait. I've got it in the bag.
Okay.
Yeah, those notes at the end of the video are going to linger on screen.
Just slow it down.
Yeah, that fade to black at the end is going to be 4 minutes.
Pete is talking really slow.
I was about to say, slow down to 50 seconds.
Oh, the swings are slow-mo. All of them.
Love it. Multiple shot traces. Let's go.
I'm gonna find examples of you doing the thing that you're coaching in videos from the last kind of like 5 or 6 years and just put the video chop them all together slow-mo with multiple angles.
Put the whole video in.
Yeah.
And then come back.
Well, yeah, just make it like a free part.
Uncut.
Like a free, uncut. Director's cut, whatever it is.
Commentary.
What'd you call it?
Oh God. Now, Jacobo.
Yeah.
How was the South Course edit?
It was really good. Yeah, really good. We played the South Course at Quinta de Largo, which is the best golf course in Europe.
Official.
Strong statement.
You can't argue with me.
It's got an award.
They've got a sign and everything.
Yeah, lots of signs.
Yeah.
You are
on
left.
On every tee box.
You are left with no doubt.
Yeah.
From like a 20-mile radius, it's just signs.
You drive down that strip, there's banner after banner. They're telling you.
One of those people with the like sign.
Yeah.
It's that way.
Yeah. He's on the first tee. He's like, that way. it was
so that's about to come out.
It's coming out on Thursday. So it's
strong video.
It's also the start of something that we're going to try and do a little bit more with these particular high-end golf courses or these high caliber courses, in kind of just giving a little bit more of an insight to the course as well. So we kind of started the process at Comporta, where there was sort of features and things around the golf course that we wanted to highlight and just showcase a little bit more. And this is a continuation of that. We want to show the golf course in all the limelight, and we want to show everything about it, whether it's the facilities, whether it's the actual golf course, the layout, what the type of greens are, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
more than just beautiful shots.
All that stuff is going to stay. I mean, you know, with us such a high caliber film crew as we are, you know, it's hard to get away from that, obviously.
Yeah. We can't help but make fire.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that just comes naturally
man
to us.
Man make fire.
And man make fire. Yeah. So I hope this video is. This video goes down, Pete. What's the problem?
No, nothing. We can't help but make fire.
Yeah, well, you know.
I think that's the slogan of the Arsonists Association.
Yeah, I was going to say, they call us the Arsonists of golf YouTube because we're always making fire.
So yeah, so the video comes out on Thursday, which I'm really looking forward to see what people think of it. And it's some good golf, some bad golf. I think that's basically Peter Finch golf in a nutshell.
Do you think that Pete's golf was to the standard of the best golf course in Europe?
Front nine.
To be honest, for most of it, yeah.
Mm. Really?
Yeah, well, this was in my purple patch of the year.
You just had a few holes. Just a couple of holes. Yeah, that's all it was.
Yeah.
It, like, you'd... 18 holes is a long time.
Yeah,
like it was a long round as well.
It was a long round as well because the course was busy.
Yeah,
front nine was good.
We were waiting a long time because they had a 2-tee start, which was a bit weird.
Yeah,
So we like flew through the first nine, and then, which is when he played very, very
that's
well.
That's the thing, you could see the difference. And actually, when we had free flow and we were just going through the holes, that was your best part of the round.
Yeah, it was weird.
And then when we turned around the corner and got onto the 10th tee, he's
it's all up the top,
mental.
Isn't it? It's
honestly,
all
like,
up the top.
There was like three groups. We finished nine, then there was three groups still went to tee off. So we got coffee, we went into
the shop,
went to the supermarket.
Went into a supermarket.
We went into the supermarket.
Yeah. Just some
that actually might have been the turning point.
Oh, is yeah.
The ham.
This is, if it's not been mentioned on the podcast before, Pete is currently undergoing a keto diet. If you don't know what a keto diet is, essentially
it's just lack of carbohydrates. This is what it looks
complete like. Complete lack of carbohydrates. So in essence, it seems kind of a simple thing, but when you actually kind of look at anything, there can just be something small on the side of a plate which just breaks it.
Yeah, I mean,
no croutons in your salad.
No croutons.
No salad.
Dundonald was particularly hard. Scotland was hard.
Yeah, I mean,
there was just so much nice stuff on that. Yeah,
I've never actually noticed before how reliant on carbs.
That's what I mean. Like things,
but
these things, they just turn up on your plate, and then you're having to order separate things. But anyway, me and Kieran were absolutely fine. Obviously, I'm never going to get away from a carbohydrate. So you love pasta too much. But we had, what did we have? We had a pastel donata. And we had a
some bananas.
And it was like that sort of pastry thing, wasn't it? It had like...
Yeah, it had it was bacon in it or something like that. Yeah,
anyway,
it was bacon in it.
Gorgeous. Really, really nice.
We also
Struggle City for this boy. Right.
Yeah. Pete bought cooked ham.
Oh, yeah.
In a packet, like you know what you get. And slices of Emmental, I think, as well.
Yeah,
slice was just ham and
cheese. And ham and cheese together.
Down you go.
That is so student of you. Yeah.
And you'll be unsurprised to learn that off about, I think you played the 10th tee and you went, I don't feel very well.
the problem was, we were waiting for that long that I just ate it all.
Yeah.
And it was a big pack of ham.
Yeah. And I digested it by the time I get to the tent.
There was a whole pig in there.
That's so funny.
That
better be in the video.
I think that slowed me down for a bit. But I think that video that we're doing as well is start like a new kind of series, really, where we're going to play full 18s, show the course, see what we can get to across the year as far as like handicaps concerned as well. If we can maintain a scratch handicap, which would be great. But that's coming out on Thursday. So
how are you feeling going into a new period of actually tracking scores with a handicap?
I'm looking forward to it because it gives me an actual goal again. Like, not playing in competitions this year, it is very apparent how little practice that I now do.
Yes.
Like the whole point of not playing competitions is so we could put more times into videos and do some of the new things that we're doing, which wouldn't be possible without that. But it's, without playing in competitions, like there's just no motivation to actually practice.
Yeah, it's not as if, like when you got in last night, we were on our way out to go and play. You didn't go in there and grind wedges and, you know, practice. You collected data for a new video.
Go smashy smash.
Do you know what I mean?
Like Hit ball far. Drive, drive, drive. More.
Your focus is just a little bit different, I guess.
And it shows. Like, I've done no short game practice this year. Zero.
But sometimes that's like helped you this year, I feel like, not playing in competitions because you're just so much more sort of free about it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
so much less pressure.
That's what I mean. But as soon as we get, like at Portal the other day with Carter, as soon as any pressure applied, I'm like, I can't remember what the hell I'm doing here.
When we do these videos that it's score reliant and you want to obviously shoot the best score possible, that's the first time that you put yourself in that environment again since playing in competition.
That third hole, that tee shot of third, it was a 600 yard par five. And it's a very tight tee shot.
Are you going to give something away the video?
Well, I'm just going to like say that your first drive was wild. Like, I've never, ever, ever... I wasn't there for the Brian one where you had a go with his driver, but this one was like wildly right.
So I don't think it was too bad.
No.
It was all right.
No,
did you find it?
No.
No, he didn't. It was
pretty bad. Then.
Not from lack of trying. We were looking for a while.
I know at the beginning of the year when you said you weren't going to play comps, you did talk about open qualifying as kind of maybe putting that not to bed entirely, but to the side for a little bit. If you got a chance to play in a group with Michael Block, would you go back and play open
Blocky
qualifying?
Yeah. Blocky.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blocky.
Because he's coming to the UK, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He is So Michael Block, if you don't know who the most famous club professional in the world is by now, where have you been?
Famous golfer.
Had an incredible USPGA championship, qualified through as a club pro, finished in the top 15, but more than that, won the hearts and the minds of the entire golfing world. And since that point has been invited to play in everything. He's playing in the Charles
Schwab. He's probably won that.
He's probably won that by now.
He's in the final group with Scheffler. And he gets a hole in one.
Yeah.
He's like going to the Canadian Open, and he is coming over to try and qualify for the Open. And I believe he's going to go try and do it in Scotland. Now, hopefully we are around at the same time and can get something done with him. But yeah, that would be incredible.
It would be very cool. If they said yeah, you can play around with him, but it's regional qualifying for the Open, and you've got to be on it. Would you take it as a, like, you know, we can film you from outside the ropes and we can maybe mic you up a little bit, but you can't make a talking to the camera video with him,
right?
And you've got to focus,
right?
Competition Pete has to come back out.
I don't know. I think what the thing is, like, the Open is such an amazing event, and it's always the dream of any kind of British golfer, especially to play in it. And that's not gone away, even though I'm not playing competition golf. But I would need to prove to myself that I can, like, play well at those courses before I even consider it.
How long would you need?
How long would I need to what?
To be ready.
Oh, God.
Start now.
Yeah.
Make sure.
Maybe go back in time.
Yeah, we've got a time machine.
He's had about 20 years, so almost ready.
I've had a bit of time.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, it honestly, it's just more, like, me and competition golf, just, yeah. I just wasn't enjoying it.
I would have liked to have seen you play on one of those courses in that hot streak, because you were playing really, really well.
Yeah.
I think you would have done well.
Yeah, I've played some decent golf this year, but again, it's as soon as that pressure's on, it's just different, and I'm not been playing in that many pressurized situations. So, hopefully,
that's all right. We'll orchestrate something.
Yeah, we'll make it.
We'll follow you around and shout at you or something. Or, I don't know.
Speaking of open venues, you're about to go and play one today.
Yes.
What the heck?
It's just what we do.
Play one. It's playing the one this year.
We don't do a great deal of, like, brilliant communication around here.
No, we don't.
We have a group chat on text, which, you know, has some great information in it every once in a while. I found out completely by accident that you were going to Liverpool, and I found out completely by accident who you're playing with, and I was so jealous because I'm not going.
Hey, listen, it's not our fault nobody listens.
Yeah. I knew. Yeah, I don't know why I knew. Why did I know?
I mean,
maybe you were there when he found out.
I literally told
you were the only one who didn't know
to his face. So if that's not,
and
we
drive to work every day together, and he didn't tell me.
So hey, listen, it's not my fault he don't talk to you.
Oh,
literally told you in the car, son.
Oh wow.
Yesterday, when I found out, I drove in the car.
So then you weren't listening. So this is all basically down to you not listening.
It's basically my fault.
You were just looking out the window. Oh, pretty bird.
Yeah. Oh, I do like a bird. Yeah, I do like a bird.
A magpie, he means. Like,
or
a hoopoo. Yeah, do a little hoopoo.
Yeah.
There are no hoopoos at Royal Liverpool, though.
There's not.
There might be a hoopoo in the South Course video.
I'll tell you what.
That's very true.
I'll tell you what. Going to be a couple of eagles, though, isn't there, mate?
Oi. Oh, like, you know what I'm talking about. God, blimey.
So not yet, mate. Not yet.
Save that for later.
So yeah, we're heading over to Royal Liverpool this evening, filming a video with Eric Anders Lang. It's for Eric's random golf club channel, I believe. But literally, this has only been sorted.
Yeah. Got a message about
2 days ago.
Yeah, got a message about an hour ago with the schedule.
Yeah, this is not something which we've been planning for a while. But it's going to be good to get out and play. We're going to try and capture a little bit of stuff as well. To be honest, I don't really know what we're going to do yet, but I think
rip up Royal Liverpool.
Apart from tear Royal Liverpool a new one. I'm interested to see what it's like. So I've played Royal Liverpool. I've actually played it after the Open before when I was in, I think it was a Faldo series event back in the day. And I hold two bunker shots with, like, when the grandstands were still up and, like, a few of the parents were in there. And it was very cool. Yeah. I mean, I think I shot like 90 million. I think I actually broke 80, I think. But anyway, played in that. I would love to now play beforehand with the grandstands up and just see what, like, how they're prepping it. Because last few years, the Open has been burnt out.
Yeah.
And Royal Liverpool is...
That also can get burnt out.
Yeah, I mean, when Tiger won, it was absolutely white.
Rory's was a bit greener. Rory won.
Didn't Tiger hit no drivers?
One driver all week, and he hit a 60-yard slice, and then put it back in the bag.
Yeah. The rest was just free irons. Yeah.
Rest was just irons all the way. And it is that type of course you can do that. They've got a new hole in there as well. They've got a new par 3, which just looks very cool. It feels a bit weird in keeping with the course. But I played that just after that had been built. So I'm like, looking forward to going back, see how it's bedded in.
I mean, yeah. I don't see any reason why it's not going to be completely burnt out if this week has gone by. I mean, we're in the middle of May and it's hot.
Yeah. It's true. To be fair, it's not... It's hot. It's not like it's roasting. It's just not raining.
No.
Yeah.
Like for the northwest of the UK, we should be up to our necks in water by now.
Come on down. It's great.
I've got my sandbags out and everything. I'm disappointed.
Yeah. I'm not being funny. Didgeribo Golf Club being dry in May.
Yes. No, you're completely right.
That's why.
You're completely right.
That is unheard of. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see. Yeah. Maybe I'll just... Oh, maybe I should take the hybrid out, stick a driving iron in for today. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Listen to me, right?
Put that restriction in there.
In Turkey, that hybrid was a magic wand.
It still is. Listen, the magic wand is
get your
is
little helper out.
It's automatic.
Yeah, but it's not a dry... You can't do a stinger with it. Can't have 400-yard stinger down there.
For the hot 10.
There's no, like, style points, is there?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's very... Did you hit the middle of the fairway again? 230.
We are filming with Erik Anders Lang. Literally the most stylistic videos on YouTube around golf.
Very cool looking.
And you want me to pull out a hybrid and just hit a little niffler down the fairway?
What I want you to do is go, like, seriously low. And for everyone to be like, wow, he's very good because he hits the fairway every time with his hybrid.
Yeah, you've not seen me play over the last few days. I have. It's not good.
Say you did go extremely low, right?
Right. Which I have done here before. Like last time I shot a full-on video there.
There you go.
Was
mentally.
The Tiger Woods one. And I shot
good vibes.
Five under?
Yeah, you did.
That was a good video, though.
I ripped it. It was so good, honestly. I potted him unreal.
Speaking of Tiger... Is Tiger going to make it to the Open this year?
That's now US down, so it's just one more to go.
So he's not going to finish a major?
Is he going to be keen to get back? Because it's somewhere he's won before, but then where has he not won? So, you know.
This is true.
I don't think he will. I just don't see how his body can get there.
I think he'll try very hard to go and play it. And then it'll be the same situation as the Masters, where after two rounds, he's just so tired that he just...
Now, I've never been to Royal Liverpool, but from any conversation I've had, I've heard it is quite flat.
It's flat.
That will be good for him.
Yeah, there's three holes with an elevation change.
Yeah.
That's it. We're not talking a lot.
If you look out on the thing,
you can just see 18
you stand
flags.
On, you stand on the first tee. Stand on the first tee, you can see 18 flags.
Yeah,
Royal
Liverpool's weird. Like a lot of people don't like it.
Oh, yeah,
like I think it's a good links. Like, I appreciate the test. It is a very fair links because it is pretty flat. You're not going to get any wild bounces, but yeah, a lot of people don't really appreciate it. I don't think.
Interesting.
Do you think it's quite similar to Royal Troon?
No, it's not as strategic as Troon.
It's a bit more plotty around Troon. What's like its biggest defense? Like what's when you go tonight, what's the kind of thing you're thinking of that you need to stay out? Is it the bunkers? Is it the...
It needs to blow.
It needs to blow,
It needs to blow, yeah. They've lengthened it a bit, but it needs wind to really... you can say that about a lot of links courses, obviously.
Yeah.
But
I mean, yeah, that's it, a big thing.
It needs wind, especially if it's going to be burnt out.
Yeah.
Do you reckon there'll be like ludicrously low scores then, like there were at St. Andrews?
It's not as easy as St. Andrews. Because St. Andrews is...
St. Andrews is easy.
St. Andrews is a piece of... In all fairness, St. Andrews, when it's dry, it is easy. Because all you need to do is miss left. Yeah. Just missed left.
Sorry, Pete.
Big greens. Yeah.
Mick won't relate to that.
Yeah.
I don't know what left feels but like.
I'm not being funny. I shot 2 under the day after it opened that.
Yeah.
Like,
so you could have gone 8 under over 4 rounds. You could have been in the top 30.
I don't know what that was. What won it last year?
20 under.
20, yeah, 20 or 21 or something.
Oh, you'd have got made the cut, maybe.
Yeah, maybe sneaked in. And then gone do my belt on the range for the Open.
No, do a Rich Beam at the PGA Champ. Yeah, when
yeah,
he like.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that'd have been class. I think with, I think if it is a very flat course and it's going to be warm, like Tiger could have a chance of playing. But realistically, the nuts from his leg, the bolts that screwed his ankle together were coming out of his skin.
Yeah, they came out of his skin. They pierced his skin.
Like we are talking about someone here who is physically shattered right now.
Yeah.
Like, if he manages to make it back and play in the Open, the amount of painkillers he would be on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, like,
he won't know which way he's hitting it.
You know about playing with painkillers, so pain is not pain's not a massive problem. What I'm talking about,
he hasn't got a fused ankle.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is that like is. It sounds harsh to say, but is his time like his time has to eventually come to an end, and he has to understand that he is kind of he can no longer compete. He can't keep himself healthy and fit enough to walk around the course for 4 days. Like, it just it hurt me so much at the Masters watching him struggle that I don't want to have to watch him struggle around. Also, selfishly, I want to see him when we go, but like, I don't want to watch him struggle for another 4 days.
It was one of the absolute highlights of my like golfing life last year at St. Andrews, when I was on the range behind him as far as this to the camera watching him hit.
Wow.
Like, you don't, that's unbelievable. That is so cool.
And he's a human.
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's just there and he's hitting shots and you're like, oh my God, Tiger Woods, it's Tiger Woods. But what was quite nice is like, I wasn't the only one.
Yeah, he's like, shush, can you stop giggling in my backswing, please?
Literally, like, people were, like, pros were just, like, getting their balls, and they were walking past, and they were walking so slowly. It was a joke. Like, they were just like, as they were going past.
Like a kid past an ice cream.
I'd try and get next to him. If I was a tour pro, I'd try and get as close as I can to him.
I would not.
Why?
Top.
Oh, shanking your leg.
Yeah, that's great.
Hook. Slice.
So
I'm just shaping the ball.
All you see is my balls like fizzing past his head the whole time. Just like, oh God, get this guy away from me.
It is a little bit of a weird one now with Tiger, because, and the best way to put this is like, a lot of the tour pros like really want him to be there as well. Now, that's a bit of an odd thing to say, because like, he's obviously one of the greatest players of all time. A lot of the tour pros would love him to be there, but I think they would love him to be there because realistically, in their minds, he's not a contender.
Mm.
Like, you're never going to actively want somebody who can beat you to be there. You want the competition.
Yeah, 100%.
You're going to a tournament, you're like, oh, damn, Rahm's not here. Phone him up. Rahm, you fancy popping down to this tournament that I could win easily without you not being there?
You're throwing Scottie Scheffler up as well.
Yeah.
And Brooks Koepka.
No, don't bring Scottie.
You can see a lot in Tiger as well, just like how much he is talking to and about other players, how much more he's kind of like out there in the pro golf community, if you want to look at it like that. When he was at his pomp, he didn't even see these people.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't even look at them.
Yeah.
He just went out there, demolished them, took home the check.
Yeah.
And then said thanks. Like that.
Sometimes he didn't even say thanks.
No, he was an absolute stone cold killer, like at his peak. So if he's going to be there, and he's going to be there in what could only be described as like a ceremonial, oh, great, Tiger's out playing.
Yeah, it's his testimonial match.
Yeah. Like, would he want that?
No,
like,
he probably wouldn't want that.
Like, he would want to play if he has a chance to get the ball around and win. And he said that in every single press conference when he's come back, in every tournament he's played.
Mm.
He's never once said in that press conference, I don't think I can win.
Because
that's literally not who he is. So if he doesn't feel like he's physically capable of winning, he won't play.
Yeah.
Even if it is a course that he's won at before.
Mm. I mean, and also that, I guess that's also evidenced by him pulling out of the PGA and pulling out of the US Open. He knows he's not going to be fit enough to play those tournaments to an even near a competitive level.
No. I mean, whether or not his game is good enough to win, I just don't even think his body right now is even available to play. Like, I mean, I don't know how far down the line he is, but I can't imagine.
Well, he had surgery straight after the Masters, so it's like, what's that, April? So we're looking at May, June, and then July. So, like, he's had 3 months to recover.
Like, and then it's not a great deal of time.
Yeah, he's not popping a dislocated finger back in, is he?
No, it's not. No.
It's a great way of putting it, that, Jacob.
What's that?
My body is not available to play.
I'm available.
I'm free.
A lot of people who think like that on the golf course. You know what? I went out there today. My body just wasn't available to play.
my brain wanted to, just body
wasn't there.
I think for the mine's normally the other way around. Really, it's like my body was. I was walking and I was hitting. I was just thinking way too
mentally
much.
I was unavailable.
Yeah, I was out. Yeah. Checked out.
You can use that.
You can. I'm gonna
trademark.
Oh, I'm
it.
Gonna.
Okay.
Kieran, it is time. Guess the player.
Right.
Now we are eventually gonna bring. Mm. You know, we're gonna do like a season thing. Nothing's gonna change. But I think you really want to compete.
I do, yeah.
And I would quite like to do the questions.
Yeah.
So we'll swap around at some point so that you can. We'll scrub the scores back to zero. Unfortunately for you guys, because you have a lot of points. And we'll begin again soon. Maybe we get to 25 or something.
100%.
Just while you queue that up, should he quit? Tiger.
I think he should not play again.
I think he should retire gracefully.
I wouldn't want him to go out on literally crawling off a golf course.
But there's not going to be another high. That's the thing.
But I think there can be.
Yeah, I think
it depends what you think the high is.
The high was him crossing the Swilcombe Bridge. At the Open,
that was
crossing this one. Everyone, he gets his guard of honor. Thanks so much for your service to the game.
But you knew at that moment. You saw the way he walked over that bridge that he was not finishing.
He bounded over.
Yeah, but he should have sacked it off.
you tell him that.
No, I'm sorry. Mr. Woods.
He was.
Don't recognize him.
Be careful who you're talking about.
I absolutely love how the fact that, out of every single person in this world, Tiger Woods is definitely the one person who's not going to watch this. And yet, even that, you looked into the camera and something in the back of your head went, but what if he sees it?
What if he sees it?
Someone's going to send it to him.
What if this hot take gets out?
Tiger, you have done incredible things for the game of golf. I'm pretty sure almost everyone that we know wouldn't have their love for the game if you weren't doing the things you were doing during that period of time when we were growing up watching it. You guys were growing up watching it. But I think there is a time when you have to think, is my legacy being damaged? Am I doing more damage to my body that is going to end up meaning that I can't pick up my grandkids in 30 years. Think. Be smart. Retire. That's what I would say.
I think it's 5 years, isn't it, for the St. Andrews every five years. So if he wanted to make that moment again, he's got to get through to what, 2026?
It'll be about 90 by then.
I think he's got one more. Swan song in him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not as in win.
Not saying a win.
All right.
I'm saying one more time where he's competing.
Yeah.
That's it. I think we have to lower the expectations of what we really think the swan song is going to be. He's had the comeback from injury win. He's had that moment, which I think kind of, not that he needed any more kind of distinction on whether he's been the greatest ever, but doing that just elevated him again to another level. I just don't see him doing that part again, but I can see him coming back. And as you say, on a final day, maybe he's not in the final group, but he's a couple of groups back and there's that buzz.
I can just see it.
But you're living in a dream world if you think he's got it in him. His body just can't do it.
Yeah, but one of the advocates of, like, I don't think he really will, but this is the kind of things people were saying before.
Exactly. Before he came back in 2019, this is exactly what everyone was saying. And what is sport if you can't dream about your heroes coming back?
But there's also many examples of players who have got injured and then tried to come back and couldn't. Look at Michael Owen. Up until he was about 20, when he got his knee injury, he was the best striker in the world. Has a knee injury, tries to come back, never gets quite to the same level he was at.
He did get to play for Real Madrid, though.
Yeah, because he went there for the wad.
And Man United.
And the United.
And Stoke City.
And so Liverpool.
Shut your mouth,
mate. Oh, yeah, great. All the time trying to get back to Liverpool to get his glory back.
You want to take that back.
Oh, no, just imagine. Imagine.
I also think he's going to do it.
I can see him coming back and playing, but whether he gets that final moment, I hope he does, but if he does, that's a long way down the road.
Just imagine St. Andrews' son is coming down. He's walking up the 18th and he's playing with...
Brooks Koepka. Charlie,
no, love it. No. Let's go, Brooks Koepka.
And Charlie Woods.
And Charlie Woods, yeah. No, Charlie's caddying before he makes his first appearance.
Okay, great.
They're walking down the 18th.
Brooks Koepka.
And they're level. And for the first time in 4 years, after Brooks has won
12 majors.
He's catching Tiger.
He finally looks over at Tiger, and Tiger just gives him a stare. And Brooks's knees just give out.
He melts.
Just falls to the fairway. Everyone's like, oh my God, what happens? He gets up. He's like, I tripped. But really, he's
Tiger's
cracking himself.
Knees just go to Brooks.
Tiger just walks past him. No surgery in evidence there. He's just on fire. Yeah. Steps up there, pitches it close to 3 foot. Brooks dumps it into the Valley of Sin. He's in tears. He gives the putt a good go, but he misses. Tiger steps up 3 foot, little left to right, down the hill, behind the hole. You know the putt I'm talking about. Rolls it home. St. Andrews goes absolutely bonkers. Like, you can hear him in Dundee. Everyone's on the Royal and Ancient balcony. You got people in blazers. They're falling off with cherries flying everywhere.
They name the 18th.
Ties about. Like, just like,
Charlie runs over. They embrace. Like, oh,
the jiggering shaking.
Everyone's going mad. They're flooding over the Swilkin.
Everyone's just like, oh.
Everyone's around the last green. 100,000 people there cheering, Tiger, Tiger,
the
Tiger.
St. Andrews coast gets engulfed in a giant
everyone's
wave.
Going mad. The red arrows flying over the top. Oh, I can see it. Come on, Tiger.
And he pulls off a mask and it's Rory.
Oh, my God.
It was me the whole time.
Mr. McElroy. I would have got away from it too with one of you meddling kids.
I believe that's Mr. Gilmore's.
So
anyway, you
back to serious competition.
Wow, I don't even know if I can top that now. That was unbelievable. Right.
So on Guess the Player last week, you got shouted out for making it too
easy. I literally got shouted out. You did it. You got it in what, like two goes?
Two goes.
I honestly had it after the first.
You had it after the first, yeah. And it was a difficult one, but But this one's a little bit harder this week. But if you do not know Guess the Player, it is a segment we do here every week when we're here. So kind of when we're all here, which isn't every week. And is I basically guess a player and pick a player where... No, it's not good. You looked, so I was like, right, where I pick a player...
I'm literally going.
No, I did not.
You did.
I did not.
Well, we'll play it back.
I didn't. I edit it. I didn't say it.
You'll be chopping it out. So.
I pick a player and I rattle off a couple of facts about varying difficulties, and these guys guess them. They each have their own buzzer and one life. Jacob's buzzer is.
Get in the hole.
Peter's is.
Ka-ka.
And Mick's is.
Cool, blimey.
Amazing. Right, let's get into it now. The current standings are here, by the way.
It's annoying.
Well.
So I it's thought you were getting better, but you just...
Yeah, you really let yourself down.
You threw yourself off course at the start.
You three-putted that.
You meandered too far.
I did a little bit. I tried to make
it... Have you not got the thing on your phone?
Try to make it smooth, but...
We just script, you fool.
Sorry. Right, okay. I was born November 19th, 1990.
He's a young boy.
Oh my God, that's my age.
Yeah, well, not really.
He's not that young.
What are you talking about? I'm young. I'm the youngest man in this room.
He or she is a month older than you.
Yes, they are.
And one day.
So how are you?
32.
When's his birthday?
When's my birthday?
It is the 21st of December.
Nope. That is incorrect.
Nope. But I got you on lock. Right?
So he's 33. Okay.
He's 32. Wait, what is it?
It's 32. No, it's 33. 32.
It's about to be
33. 18.
I was 3 days off. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yours was the 21st.
Yeah, but you only knew that because yesterday.
Yeah, I've got it saved in my calendar.
Okay. Anyway, Kieran, I don't think anyone's guessing.
No one's guessing. Okay. Right. Okay. In 2013, I won the NCAA Division Men's Golf Championship.
So it's a man.
Well, we don't know that.
Well, he did just say men's.
Doesn't matter. Times are changing.
That's true.
2013. Okay. Okay.
Dude, that's when I went to uni. How weird.
Okay.
Do you know what the NCAA is?
No.
Like a college.
National collegiate. Yeah. Yeah.
They have it in basketball and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
You know, it's not that hard. You're just reading.
In 2015. No, I'm picking the clues. In 2015, I got my PGA Tour card where I entered 27 events and made 12 cuts and won $380,000.
Okay.
It's just slightly more than Michael Block.
So we're looking at a 32-year-old
tour player.
So he won the NCAA championship when? 2013.
And
in 15 got his tour cards. He was very young.
In 2015 got his tour cards. Mm-hmm. Right.
Cool, blimey. Matt Fitzpatrick.
No. Wow. Love the...
He's the same age as me, I think. Like, almost exactly.
Hmm. Okay. We going?
No, he's younger.
No. I'm pretty sure he's the same age. No, he's like 31, 32.
I don't think he's out of his 20s.
What? Not having that.
Right. Next up. I grew up playing Vista Valencia Golf Club, and it was my home course.
It can't be.
Get in the hole.
Yep.
John Rahm?
Nope.
Yeah, see, I didn't think it was.
That was a trap.
I didn't want to be the one to
trick you there.
He's roped you in there with Valencia.
Pulling the rope.
He's done you with a Spanish club.
Yeah, he's definitely based in like New Orleans or something. He's just put on the accent.
Valencia.
Just didn't want to be the one to not say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we have it? What was the course again?
Vista Valencia.
Vista Valencia Golf Club.
And it's actually Valencia.
Vista Valencia.
Valencia.
California, probably.
It's Vista Valencia. Valencia.
I can't say.
It's not. It's Vista Valencia.
It's, yeah, thank
Vista
you.
Vista Valencia.
Yeah.
You're not Spanish. Is it Valencia?
Valencia, yeah. That's how they say it. Valencia.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. There we go.
Valencia.
Do it in Irish and I'll understand.
Cool. Wow. Harp on that. Valencia. Valencia. Can't do it.
Okay. Next question.
Clip that.
I have to get in a role of saying something.
You do, yeah. You do this whole clue in Irish.
I'm not going to do that. Right. I then unfortunately lost my tour card in 2017, where I only made 2 cuts.
Oof. That's quite stinky.
Ooh. Kaka.
Yep.
Max Homer.
Yes.
That's it.
Boom. Boom, 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 boom. Max Homer.
I didn't think he'd won the NCAA.
He was like the number one ranked amateur in the world.
Oh, right.
And then obviously turned pro, went to crap.
He's also Jewish. I found out lots about him today. I didn't know he was Jewish.
You go deep into the Max Homer facts.
Well,
lives in Arizona now.
He does indeed, yeah. That was going to be one of my clues. Mm. Yeah.
Mind you, that would have been literally half the PGA Tour.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's like,
he lives in Jupiter.
That,
yeah. That one. So he must be like, how many points are you on now? He must be on 10.
I
think he's on 8 or 9, yeah.
He's running away with it now.
Just my tour knowledge. It's like tour pro knowledge is deep.
1-4, and that's like 7 or 8.
Champion. Give me the belt.
Yeah, as if you didn't know any more.
Give me the belt.
Gloatness. Yeah.
Did the kind of thinking that the Vista Valencia was in California?
It was somewhere in California. Southern states.
Yeah. So you were like
in California. Going to hit us with a Spanish accent.
Valencia.
Okay, stop saying that.
But that's what they say. That's how they say it.
Yeah, not in America, though.
Stop saying it.
When have you ever met anyone from Valencia say they're from Valencia?
Do you think...
Yin Stockport, remember that?
No, my cousin went. was teaching for a year in Valencia.
I don't dispute that. I agree with you. That is how they would say it
that's
in
how they
Spain.
Say it, yeah.
But if you asked Max Homer where was the golf course you grew up on, he wouldn't go, it was on Vista Valencia.
Yeah. No, they're not going to say that. I had to trick you guys whatever way possible.
Nah.
Disgraceful.
Disgusting.
Yeah, well, it's fine. His reign as question master will soon be over. Oh. And then he'll be able to prove his own tour knowledge without Wikipedia in front of him. And see if it can make Pete.
It's not just Wikipedia. It's Golf Monthly. You've got to go through all these deep cut facts.
You go through the archives, don't you?
Exactly.
I'm going to see this. If you're watching on YouTube, this is me turning up Guest the Player to 11. Like that.
And how will you do it?
Oh, it's all in the works. Don't you worry. Wow. Do you want to go and play this year's Open venue?
Someone's got to, I suppose.
Such yes, a hard life.
We will report back on Royal Liverpool, let you know how everything was. Stay tuned. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already, and give us a follow on your favorite podcast provider. And do not forget to enter the giveaway. Guys, thank you so, so much for watching. And we will see you, listen to you, hear you, believe in you next time. Bye.